From pumpkin pie and mashed potatoes to eggnog and Christmas cookies, the holiday season is filled with delicious food, but it isn't exactly great for our waistlines. The holiday excess might already have you thinking about a New Year's diet. Dr. Dave Shirley thinks about diets all the time, but not for himself. He's part of a group of researchers here at MSU with the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation. They are studying how the diets of people in Africa are changing dramatically as the continent becomes more urbanized. As Africans move to cities, they're getting more of their calories from processed, packaged foods. Dr. Shirley just got back from a research trip to Mozambique, and he's here to tell us about this diet transformation. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How are African diets changing, and why?
So people talk about the double burden of malnutrition that exists now in Africa. So in the sense that we still have in Africa the old problems, if you want to think about them that way, of many, many, many people with too little food, you know, ingesting too few calories and all of the problems that come with that, the stunting, physical stunting, and the cognitive, delayed cognitive development. But what fewer people realize is that with the urbanization, as you said in your introduction, which has been going on for many, many years, but crucially combining that with the growing incomes that have been happening in Africa for the past 15 years or so. Africa has some of the most rapidly growing economies in the world over that time. You put those two things together, urbanization and income growth, and yeah, you have a pretty strong movement towards processed foods and animal protein foods, milk, you know, dairy products and meat with fat and kind of all of the related problems that come with that transition from more commodities to the processed.
So there's a quantity issue that we've been familiar with for many decades, but increasingly there is also a quality dynamic in play here?
Yeah, you could look at it that way. So, you know, the higher income people think that they're having a higher quality diet by eating convenient foods and tasty foods that just happen to have a lot of fat and salt and that type of thing. So they might be seeing it as higher quality, but from a nutritional perspective, you know, it's not higher quality.
And are these having the same kind of health impacts that we've become familiar hearing about here in the West?
Yeah, very much so. So, you know, for example, if you look at, if you take all of the countries in sub-Saharan Africa and you look at the share of women, and I'm talking about women only because that's where most of the data is available, the share of women that are underweight or malnourished versus the share of women that are overweight or obese, and you compare those, in about three-quarters of the African countries, there are more overweight and obese women than there are underweight and malnourished women. Oh, so that's a fairly shocking figure.
What countries do you focus on? I mentioned a trip to Mozambique here. Do you focus on Mozambique, or do you visit others, or what?
So I focus on East and Southern Africa. I've lived in Mozambique in the 1990s for 3 years, but also work a lot, have in the past worked a lot in Kenya, Tanzania, Zambia, was just in Malawi this past summer as well.
And are there countries where this transformation is especially noticeable?
So, yes. I mean, the countries that have higher urban populations and higher rates of income growth, you know. So in South Africa, which kind of is in a special category in terms of sub-Saharan Africa because of its higher incomes, but very much for that reason, it's by far the most advanced in South Africa. Places like Botswana, I think, which has also had a lot of income growth, you see it. But, you know, you're seeing it in most all, and I'll speak only of East and Southern Africa because that's where I work, but you're seeing it especially in urban areas all across the region.
Are processed foods imported from elsewhere, or are they produced locally?
So it really depends on the country, and this is something that we're really trying to understand because, you know, in addition to, you know, some of the negative nutritional impacts of this change, there are also positive impacts. People are getting more food at cheaper prices, and so that old problem of too few calories is beginning over time, too slowly for some, but beginning to go away, okay? But we're really trying to understand, we see this as also a business opportunity for local entrepreneurs, right? Producing healthy processed foods to kind of feed that developing market. So there are some countries like Mozambique where imports really dominate. There are other countries where they don't seem to dominate so much. And we're really trying to understand kind of the response of local small, micro, medium-sized firms to this market opportunity.
Dr. Dave Shirley is our guest. We're talking about Dr. Shirley's research on the changing diets of urban Africans, the numbers of which are increasing noticeably. When you go back to Africa now, can you see how the diets are changing when you go to a market or a grocery store?
Yeah.
Is that visible to you?
It is visible. So let me give you just an anecdote from Malawi this summer, and I was in the capital of Lilongwe. And went to, one of the bigger local markets. And so these types of markets will be frequented by poor and kind of lower middle class, by African standards, consumers, right? Poor African consumers, lower middle class African consumers predominantly. And I saw both reasons for a lot of concern and reasons for some optimism. So the reasons for concern were very large packages. In every stall I went, well, not every, many, many stalls that I went to, very large packages of basically corn puffs, which had lots of salt and lots of fat in them. They came in a variety of neon colors, and they were being purchased primarily by lower-income households for their children as snack foods. So that was kind of shocking. On the other hand, however, I saw lots of tasty soya treats, which is kind of an extruded soybean product that is likely quite healthy and whose market is growing really rapidly.
So it's a mixed bag.
It is
really
a mixed bag, absolutely.
In a way. You're documenting these changes in diet. Are you also working on solutions to mitigate the negative health impacts of processed foods?
So the first thing we're trying to do is simply understand what's happening, okay? How much are the diets changing? We need to get a better handle on the nutritional impacts because not all processed foods are bad. And so we're trying to get more detailed in the analysis to understand that better. But then, yes, it comes down to educating consumers about positive, consumption habits and working with companies about options for producing more healthy products that can also be appealing to consumers, and then working with government on the regulatory side to kind of come up with a mix of approaches that will promote more healthy eating while promoting, the business development for local firms who need to grow their businesses as well.
Dr. Dave Shirley is a scholar here at Michigan State University, just back from a research trip to Mozambique, and he studies the diet transformation undergoing in Eastern and Southern Africa. Are the recent changes in diet you're seeing there unique, or have they happened in other places as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, as with most things, it's not exactly the same everywhere, okay? But it is a very broad, very robust change that we've seen all over the world. As incomes rise, as urban populations rise, they go through this transition to where they go from too few calories to too many calories, too much fat, et cetera. So, for example, Central America and Mexico are among the most obese countries in the world today, and they were not 20 and 30 years ago. And there are some northern European countries that have partially avoided the problem. South Korea looks to have partially avoided the problem. So there are some countries which for, kind of historical, cultural, and perhaps policy reasons and educational reasons have partially avoided it. But I would say no country has entirely avoided this change.
What are some of the cultural reasons in play here for that?
Well, it has a lot to do with coming out of poverty and people's conception of what an attractive human body looks like. And if you're coming out of the kind of poverty that, people typically associate with Africa, with too little food, people that are vastly underweight, even starving to death, then people coming out of that, the conception of a healthy body is of a big, robust, even round body. And so that kind of operates on a really fundamental level that is not easy to address.
I'm flashing back on my history courses here in the description of how the upper classes in the 18th century in the West used to associate prosperity with some degree of flesh.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's amazing how those perceptions change
over
the decades and the centuries.
Yeah.
I mean, we struggle here in the United States with a lot of the same health problems that Africa is starting to deal with now. Mm-hmm. Are there any lessons for the United States in your research?
Lessons for the United States. I have to confess, you know, about 98% of my thinking is focused on Africa, to be perfectly honest. So lessons for the U.S.
I mean, our situation is kind of, you know, writ large, and it's something that goes back for decades here mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah. You know, one thing that I see is that in Africa, there, and this is, again, anecdotal because we're kind of doing the research now, but I do find a lot of desire, and not just among upper-income, highly educated people, desire to eat healthy foods and concern about pesticides and kind of, you know, some of the negative aspects of modern diets, right? Mm. So there is some basic, if you will, psychological and you know, material to work with in people's heads about what they're concerned about, what they like, and it's a question of kind of building on that, I think.
We've been talking with Dr. Dave Shirley about his research on the changing diets of urban Africans. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Thank you very much.
This segment was produced with support from the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University.